Good morning. Welcome to St. John's Lutheran Church this morning. Oh, by the way, allow me to introduce myself. I'm Pastor Steve Edmiston. I'm the newly installed pastor here at St. John's. Or they, it's about darn time you've been installed, Pastor Steve. So it is good for us to be here. Thank you for being with us. If you are on YouTube or the live stream, it is good for us as we gather this morning to celebrate Holy Trinity. Now, we're not celebrating the doctrine of the Holy Trinity. We're celebrating our experience of God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and the love that comes to us from God in so many different ways and places. It's good to be here. We have Sunday school bags in the back. So if there are children here, if there are children who are going to visit your house today, or children that you know, these Sunday school bags contain a story and a craft and a way for those children to realize how much God loves them. So please make sure that they get a Sunday school bag. I want to make sure I say thank you to everyone who joined us last week to celebrate my installation. It was a glorious day, and I am still just a bit overwhelmed. The weather was just perfect, especially when you compare it to Friday. Oh, 82 degrees and sunny, and then it was 50 degrees and rain. I did not ask for the 50 degrees and rain. Please understand, I may have grown up in Minnesota, but I left for all kinds of reasons. Most of them cold ones, right? I also want to make sure I say thank you to everyone who participated. Those who gave the gift of their musical abilities and song. Those who participated in the service itself. It was a wonderful, wonderful day. And I also want to make sure that I say thank you for the many gifts and greetings that I received. Moving forward, this coming Thursday evening, June 3rd, we will begin a Bible study on the book of Acts, looking at the story of the early church, looking at the story of Paul's missionary journeys, and trying to learn what we can from God's work with those people so that we can turn it into help for our work with the people in our day. So Thursday, 7 p.m., if you have a Bible, bring it with you. We will begin a Bible study on the book of Acts. Next Sunday, June 6th, we're celebrating our graduates. High school graduates will receive their quilts, and college graduates and others will be mentioned in prayer. I hope that you can be with us as we pray God's blessings on their future, especially one of them who's standing right there in the middle. Just get to embarrass you a little bit, you know. There you go. Then, Sunday, June 27th, the last Sunday in the month of June, we celebrate Confirmation Sunday for two of our young people. At the 10:30 service, they will affirm their baptisms and step into responsibility for their faith, and I hope that you can join us for that celebration. My final announcement is that after 17 years of blessed and dedicated service, Barbie Cavalt is stepping down as financial secretary here at St. John's. And so while we know we can't replace, we're looking for someone to pick up the mantle and do the job. It is a job where if details are something that you enjoy, if numbers are something that you enjoy, if you've been looking for a way and a place to add yourself to the ministry here at St. John's and you were never sure, this might be a place. And so please consider. They're the ones that count the offerings and make sure that everything gets reported to people. There is a small stipend that goes with the job. And so if you are interested or if you have questions, you can talk with Bill McCroskey, who's the president of the congregation. You can talk to me. We are looking for someone to pick up that mantle in the beginning of July. So please prayerfully consider that in your prayers this week and in to come. We've gathered this morning to be in worship. We've gathered this morning to celebrate God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So let us begin our worship by rising. We begin in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Our gathering song is Savior of the World, and we sing together.
For the sake of us, for the His glory. Let the church now sing of this coming King, crowned with majesty, our Redeemer. And He reigns, ruler of the heavens, and His name is Jesus the Messiah. For He made us a way by which we have been saved. He's the Savior of the world. So we lift up a shout for His fame and renown. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, Jesus, Savior of the world. Christ the Lord overcame the darkness. He's alive, death has been defeated, and He reigns, ruler of the heavens, and His name is Jesus the Messiah. For He made us a way by which we have been saved. He's the Savior of the world. So we lift up a shout for His fame and renown. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, Jesus, Savior of the world.
Let us pray. Almighty Creator and ever-living God, we worship Your glory, eternal three in one, and we praise Your power, majestic one in three. Keep us steadfast in this faith. Defend us in all adversity and bring us at last into Your presence, where You live in endless joy and love, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
The first lesson this Holy Trinity Sunday comes from the book of Isaiah, the 6th chapter, beginning with the first verse. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of His robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above Him. Each had 6 wings. With 2 they covered their faces, and with 2 they covered their feet, and with 2 they flew. And one called to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. The pivots on the thresholds shook at the voices of those who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And I said, Here am I, send me. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The second lesson comes from the book of Romans, the 8th chapter, beginning with the 12th verse. Brothers and sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if in fact we suffer with Him, so that we may also be glorified with Him. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John in the 3rd chapter. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to Him, Rabbi, we know that You are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that You do apart from the presence of God. Jesus answered him, Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Nicodemus said to Him, How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, how can these things be? Jesus answered him, are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. The Gospel of our Lord. And may the grace of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you all this day. Amen. Isaiah and Nicodemus, they have similar experiences in today's Bible readings. Now, they aren't the same by any means, but they are both in the presence of God. They both realize that God loves them and wants to be in relationship with them. And they also know that God sends them out to be in relationship with the world. Isaiah, Nicodemus, but that is also our experience as well. See, Isaiah has this vision of God in all his great, awesome presence. It's God, the hem of God's robe, it says, that fills the temple. And all who are around God are both deferential and exuberant at the same time. They sing praises until the room shakes. And Isaiah is just struck by this vision. I am a man of unclean lips, he cries out, because Isaiah knows that he is unworthy to be where he is. He is unworthy to see what it is that he is seeing. He is unworthy to experience any of these things. Isaiah understands his dependence and his unmerited presence. But you see, God has something else in mind. God is not rubbing Isaiah's nose in his contemptibility, trying to make Isaiah feel even smaller than he already does. God is looking for a partner and thinks that Isaiah is just the person. See, the God that we know as Trinity, as our creator, as our redeemer, as our sanctifier, that God is looking for partners. Looking for people to carry the message of God's love, and Isaiah is there. The Trinity looks to us as those same partners, workers to help build the kingdom of God, workers to bring the light and the love of God out to the world. And for Isaiah, all of this partnership, all of this amazing relationship starts with forgiveness. See, it says a seraph flies down to touch Isaiah's mouth with a hot coal from the altar of the Lord. And he says, now that this has touched your lips, your sin is blotted out. It begins with forgiveness. For us, it also comes from the altar. Not as a hot coal, thankfully, all right? Right? But it comes for us. As the presence of Jesus in, with, and under this bread and wine. Forgiveness begins that relationship because it is in forgiveness that our relationship with God is repaired. All the destruction that we have wrought in our sinfulness is restored. And we now have a relationship with God as beloved children. This was true for Isaiah. It's true for us as well. And as is the question that God speaks to Isaiah, God asks at the end of our reading, whom shall I send? Who will go? God knows that the world needs the love of God. The world needs to know that God's love is real and available, that forgiveness is real and available, that salvation is real and available. And God wants to work with us, all of us, from Isaiah to Peter, from Abraham to Andrew, from Bertha, my grandmother, to Josephine, my great niece, to each and every one of you. God wants to work with us all. And he calls us every day in relationship and love, and he asks us, who will go? God wants you to go into the world with hope and make God's vision for creation your mission. That might be familiar words to you now, all right? Isaiah cries out at the end of this reading, here I am, send me. Last week at my installation, I was asked questions about my ministry here, about our time together. And my answer was, I will, and I ask God to help me. And we use the words of our dismissal home to remind us of God's call, to remind us of God's promise to be with us, but also to remind us of our responsibility to the world. The Trinity of love and power is asking us to work together with God to love this world to be a better and more beautiful place. Nicodemus learned much the same in today's gospel. Now, this was no vision for Nicodemus. He actually went looking for Jesus. Now, he went by night so that none of his colleagues could see him go, but he still went to see Jesus. Now, this isn't an immense throne room where Jesus, the hem of his robe fills or anything like that. It's a simple place for Jesus and Nicodemus to talk. Nicodemus knew that Jesus was from God. He may have even had an inkling that Jesus is God with us. But Nicodemus came to ask. He came for answers. He came to meet his Lord. And in that conversation with Jesus, Nicodemus is taught that we must be born again from above. All right, the Greek word anothen that is used has both of those meanings. Right? And in the translation that we read, Jesus, it says, you must be born from above. And Nicodemus thinks that he needs to crawl back inside and be born again. It's both. It's all. It's all of those things. But we need to be born again from above to be part of God's kingdom. You see, we are outside of the kingdom as sinful human beings. But if, with God's help, we are born again, if we are born from above, then we are part of the kingdom of God. When we are born of water and spirit, we are forgiven. We have new life. We are saved from the temptations of the devil, the world, and our sinful selves. And now we are able to join with Christ in a new effort to bring God's dream for creation to life. Nicodemus sees what Isaiah sees, what we get to see as well, and that is God's love is all around us and encouraging us to go. Nicodemus is reminded that we need this new birth, this new life in Christ because of our sinful past. But you see, then Jesus promises Nicodemus, he promises us, that he has come from above so that all men might find forgiveness and redemption, that all people might know the saving power of God's love, and they will know it when he is lifted up. It is in his dying and his rising that Jesus makes all things new, and Nicodemus and all of us are invited into that newness. You see, like Isaiah and like Nicodemus, we are called by God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to go into the world with hope, making God's vision our mission. The question is, can we do this? Can we really do this? And the answer I have is yes. Yes, we can. We can because we are forgiven. Sometimes that forgiveness is like a hot coal on your tongue. And sometimes that forgiveness is like water and spirit, but other times it's that forgiveness is just a weight that has been removed, allowing us to move forward and grow. And this forgiveness is a result of God's relationship with us. From the moment of our baptism, God claims us as his child and sends us out into the world. The God of our baptism walks beside us. This God wants to work with us. This God in whom we believe is always with us as Father, Creator, as Jesus, our Lord and Redeemer, as Holy Spirit, our advocate and friend. And this forgiveness comes as a gift from the love of God that never, ever ends. In the Catechism, Luther reminds us that in our relationship with God, the Father, Almighty Creator, provides all that we need, from our body and soul and all their powers to food and clothing, home and family, daily work, and all I need from day to day. Some of you may be recognizing this from your catechism days, right? The Father also protects us, guards us, and shows us the glory of creation every single day. God the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh who lived among us, has saved and redeemed us, has freed us from sin and death so that we can follow His lead and love our neighbors. The Holy Spirit, our advocate and friend, stands beside us every day to guide and to guard, to pick us up when we fall, to enlighten us in God's love and God's story of salvation. This God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is the source of our forgiveness, the source of our new life, and the ground of our salvation. But the big question today is why? Why does God forgive us? Why does God send us out into the world? Why does God care about us at all? It's for love. Our relationship with God is built on God's love for us all, and we heard it again echoed as Jesus spoke to Nicodemus when we heard, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." You see, it's all for love, for God's love for the world, all of it, every part of it, every person in it. It's all for love, God's love for us, each of you and all of us together. It's all for love. And that includes our love for God and all of God's creation and all of our sisters and brothers. It's all for love. To make this world to be more wonderful, to make this world into something that we can be proud to be part of. And all of this wonderful mission is something that we get to do together in our relationship to one another and in our relationship to God. Now, it is no longer in the year that King Uzziah died. So instead, in the year that Pastor Steve was finally installed, we see the Lord our God in the cross of Christ. We see the Lord our God at the table and at the font and in the faces of the people around us. We are forgiven and born again from above so that our relationship with God is restored and our relationship with the world is awakened in love. It is that love of God that drives us. It is that love from God that saves us. It is that love from God that guides us and strengthens us and gives us hope and peace. It is for that love and for our relationship that we give thanks now and always. Amen. Please rise. As we, in celebration of our baptism and in remembrance of God's love and goodness, confess together our faith in the words we find in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And now let us come before the triune God in prayer. We pray, O God, for your holy church around the world. Revitalize and renew us that we may be reborn once again through the waters of baptism and the blowing wind of your Spirit. Lord, in your mercy, we give you thanks for your power revealed to us in creation, for cedar and oak trees, for rushing waters, for the echoes of thunder. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for the nations and our leaders, that they, that led by your Spirit, they work towards a world where all your children enjoy peace. We pray especially for those in conflict across the Middle East. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for healing for all those who suffer, especially victims and survivors of trauma or violence. Give respite to those living with PTSD or any other mental health concern. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for this worshiping community, that the splendor of your majesty and the holiness of your mystery may be glorified through our worship and our relationships with one another. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Lord, as a country that has known war, we remember this weekend those who have died in defense of this country. As we remember those dead, may we pray that these deaths will stand as witness to love lived, and may we work to see that no more lives need be lost. Lord, in your mercy, we give you thanks, O God, for those who have died in the faith. Bless us as we follow them. And we pray especially today for the family and friends of Harry Faulkner. Lord, in your mercy, we lift our prayers to you, O God, trusting in your abiding guidance. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us, pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Please enjoy your day as you go into the world with hope.
To make God's vision our mission.
That's what we do.
You've been listening to St. John's Lutheran Church, 120 West Water Street, Sydney, Ohio. May God's glory abide with us today. May the love of God be increased within us and extended towards our fellow worshipers. Welcome, children of God. We invite you to return and worship with us again.